Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Wanted to talk about a couple things today. One, I wanted to finish up the discussion that we began yesterday, because it was like many of the discussions we have here on the Inside Scoop. It was really getting going just as the show had to end. One of the advantages of a one-hour show is I think I always leave with you wanting a little bit more. One of the disadvantages is, well, I think I always leave with you wanting a little bit more. So particularly those of you who are on the phone with me that I had to cut it short because, hey, we ran out of time. David in Massachusetts, Maria in New Mexico. You will get first priority if you call in at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. But let that be a lesson to all. If you want to be heard on the Inside Scoop and you call in early in my show, you will get lots of time to chat with me. You'll make sure you get your point out. We have a nice, pleasant, long discussion. If you call with 5 minutes to go, you're just not going to get that much time. And it's not my fault. It's just the nature of the business. So anytime you want to call in, try to call in early in the hour. You'll get more time. I promise you. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. As I argued yesterday, I don't understand all the hullabaloo made over a anti-abortion, a pro-life group that snuck in and talked with someone from Planned Parenthood and heard her describe how it is that they donate fetal tissue to save lives. Is it that pro-lifers believe that some fetal tissue from an aborted fetus is more valuable than a real person's life? I don't think that's it, but I want them to say that to me. I want them to actually to say, I think fetal tissue is more important than someone's life. You know, we already allow this kind of thing all the time with cadavers. Now, it is true that we get the cadaver's permission. It's also true with the fetal tissue that you get the mother's permission. But with permission, you can do some things that would probably be considered quite horrific. You can literally carve up a corpse. And as horrible as it would be to mutilate a corpse, to take the dead body of a loved one and just randomly cut it up in ways that, I mean, that's a crime. Well, that's an awful thing. We respect a dead body, not so much for the body, but because we respect it for the life that was once in it. And yet all the time, and I think it's a great idea, all the time people put on their driver's licenses, donor cards, I wish if I die, when I die, because we're all going to die someday, that I will donate my kidneys, my heart, my lungs, my corneas, my pancreas, so that someone else may live. And as I argued yesterday, I think that is the most generous gift that can be given. I think that shows a certain self-sacrifice, a certain generosity beyond what any of us can do in life. Because in life, when you give to someone, you might expect something back. But if you give after your death, and not like willing money to your children, not that there's anything wrong with that, but actively giving a part of your body that you can no longer use because you're dead to save some complete stranger's life, that is truly, I think, a beautiful thing. And it's something that can save a lot of lives. And I have heard no criticism of doctors who, when someone dies, run in, grab the heart, cut it out, even if they have to cut into the chest. Of course, they have to, usually to get the heart. Might grab a cornea. Even if you got a cut into someone's eyes, that's got to look gruesome. I'm sure it's not a pretty sight. I'm sure it looks awful. But looks aside, if you can take a bodily organ and save a life with it, why would you not? If you know anyone waiting for a kidney, you know how important it is that people donate their organs when they die. Well, I don't see why fetal tissue is any different. I do get the slight difference in that the person who donates their organs does it by choice, and in the fetal tissue case, it's the mother. But remember, this is a life that will never live. This is a potential life. This is something that could become a baby if the mother wants it to, but the mother chose to terminate the pregnancy. And I realize that the heart of the difference between the pro-life and the pro-choice argument, I get it, is that pro-life argument goes in and, I would argue, anthropomorphizes the fetus. They go in and they think of the fetus like a baby. They think of the embryo like a child. Of course, it's not. It's an embryo. It's becoming a fetus. It's becoming a baby. It's becoming a child. It starts out as an egg and a sperm. And what's fascinating is no one seems to argue, as I once saw in a really, which Monty Python movie was it? It wasn't The Life of Brian. What was the name of that Monty Python movie? It wasn't actually a really good movie, but the one part I do remember was they had the difference between Protestants and Catholics. And Catholics, of course, opposed birth control, and so they had a song, Every Sperm is Sacred. And I think if you're going to argue that once a sperm meets an egg at contraception, that that's sacred, then maybe you should just go backward in time and argue every sperm is sacred. And all those billions and trillions of sperm wasted by every male on the planet should all be saved, as well as every egg, every month. That's a potential life down the drain. And I know, no, well, it requires a sperm and an egg to make a baby. Well, it does, but there's lots of sperm wasted and lots of egg wasted. And if you're arguing that somehow a sperm and an egg meeting, that's really a child, that one-celled creature that is smaller than the point of a pin and has no thoughts or feelings or brain waves or heart, or certainly doesn't have the brain capacity of the common housefly. If you argue that that's sacred because it has the potential to form a life, then I would say, why wouldn't its component parts be equally sacred, the sperm and the egg? Because, as I argued yesterday, a sperm and an egg together do not make a baby. Sure they do, Mark. Don't you know biology? No, I do know biology. Listen up. A sperm and an egg alone do not make a baby. Do you know how you make a baby? Under current scientific techniques, it requires three things. A sperm and an egg and a woman. Requires a live womb. Requires a uterus. We cannot make a baby matrix style. We don't have the technology to do that yet. And because all three elements are there, it seems to me that if you don't have a sperm and an egg and a willing mother, if you don't have those three elements, you can't make a baby. So I don't see why sperm and egg together should be sacred if all three component parts are sacred. If a sperm and an egg are sacred without a willing mother, that only two-thirds of the equation is there, then why isn't a sperm sacred and an egg sacred? I think we all know the reason, because we all know that if every sperm and every egg were used, our population would be multiple trillions within a week. So we know that not every potential life is used. And I think those of us who are pro-choice don't see a sperm and an egg without a willing mother as anything more than a sperm separated from an egg. But I get it. People who are pro-life see the sperm and the egg without the willing mother somehow as sacred. And sacred, of course, is a religious term. And people are putting their religion in this. And this isn't science, folks. Because science requires sperm, an egg, and willing mother. So it seems to me that without all those three elements, you can't have a baby. And certainly I don't think we want, I guess the pro-life people want sperm plus egg plus unwilling mother. Some of them say if a woman's raped, she should have to have the baby. Or if the condom broke, she wasn't willing, but it's happened anyway, so now she has to have the baby. Or maybe if you truly take the sperm and egg and unwilling mother analogy to its fullest, they believe that you should implant the hundreds of thousands of frozen embryos that exist today in fertility clinics and put them in women who are unwilling throughout the country so as to save those lives. Because they would believe that emptying those test tubes is murder. I don't consider emptying the test tube of a 1 cell or 10 cell or 100 cell potential life to be murder. You want another one? You just create another one. Get another sperm and egg. There's plenty of sperm around and there's plenty of eggs around. You just make another one. I don't consider emptying that test tube to be a loss of life. But I really think that if there is fetal tissue and it can save a real life, not a potential life, but someone on this planet, someone who's been born, someone who lives and loves and has brainwaves and friends and family and has made an impact, someone who really we care about, a human being in every sense of the word. If that person's life can be saved by some egg or sperm or fetal tissue, why wouldn't we want to do that? Just as we'd want to do it from any cadaver. I don't understand. Is it that we're squeamish about talking about this? Or is that this is all really a side argument to argue really against abortion? I think it's the latter. Anyway, if you want to talk more about that, I encourage you to call in after the break at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We do have another topic today, and that's the Donald. Got to talk about the Trump. I know many of you are sick of hearing it, but hey, it's awfully entertaining. And now that Donald Trump has attacked John McCain's war hero status, I'm afraid this will probably end the circus carnival that is Donald Trump. And as a Democrat, I hate to see him go. I thought that he was doing a really good job at showing the Republican Party, for all his ability to do well in the polls, at least until this most recent fiasco, I think it showed the Republican Party for what it was, a party that really doesn't like people, or at least doesn't like people not like themselves. Doesn't like poor people, doesn't like Mexicans, doesn't like immigrants. It's just, it's a you got mine, Jack party. And no one exemplifies the I got mine, Jack atmosphere better than Donald Trump. So, Planned Parenthood, abortion, Donald Trump, the 2016 race, lots to talk about. Call in early. You'll get lots of time on the air. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Be right back after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levin, talking about the huge scandal over Planned Parenthood donating fetal tissue. Now, a couple things to note. They don't sell it. That was a false. It's actually a slander on Planned Parenthood. They deliver it, and they do get between $30 and $100. Which is the cost of their delivery reimbursed, depending on what the actual cost is. So that's not an issue. And also, yes, the woman talked about it cavalierly while eating salad and drinking wine. And it's a serious topic, and so her tone was perhaps not the appropriate one. But the basic issue, donation of fetal tissue, I don't have any problem with. 888-488-MARK. Let's go to Anna in Palm Springs on line 5. Hey, Anna, how are you?
Hi, Mark. If it takes two to tango having a child, why is it always the woman's responsibility to get the she gets the abortion? If she doesn't get the abortion, then the baby should go to the man.
Well, because it's her body. We don't. Men can't make a baby yet. Maybe one day.
No, I understand that. I understand. I want men to be responsible for the occasion of sex with a woman, and then she becomes pregnant, So I think they should share the responsibility. They shouldn't just walk, plant their seeds and walk away.
Oh, no. Well, that's why we require fathers to pay child support. I mean, legally, fathers are required, if a mother keeps the baby, to take care of that child. I mean, they are legally required.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying the father should be able to decide whether or not to have an abortion, and I don't think that's the case.
No, I just think that the problem is if we follow the money a little bit more, and if guys had to pay their share of the expense, I don't, you know, maybe they'll consider not having sex.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Anna, guys
are using protection.
Yeah, I mean, guys are required by law to do that. Now, you wouldn't be telling me anything new to tell me that it's hard to enforce that. You have to go to court. A lot of women don't know how to do it. And even if they do, a lot of dads are deadbeat and can't afford it and don't have jobs. And you can't take, you know, blood from a stone. So you can't really do it. I mean, I happen to think contraception belongs to both. Man and woman, it's a joint responsibility.
Yeah, that's true. But why is it, you know, it's amazing they come out with all these medications or drugs for men to continue having a sex life.
Right.
And women are left holding the bag all the time. It's really quite annoying.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, they're actually... They're putting out a female Viagra. I know that. I don't think it's out yet, but I think I'm pretty sure that's in the works if you look it up.
Well, that's fine. I'm just asking men to be more responsible. And if they have to pay, they might reconsider or maybe consider if we start enforcing it and getting them to pay their share of the expense of having a child, maybe they'll think twice.
Maybe, but Anna, I mean, the law already, and I believe it's in all 50 states, requires men to pay. I mean, it does require fathers to pay for children that are theirs. That's why we can do paternity tests, and that's why many fathers don't want those tests taken. But there, the law is there, and I actually think it's enforced pretty strongly. I mean, they can garnish your wages. So I'm not quite sure what you're suggesting because it's already
so
the law.
All right. So let's say they're closing all the abortion clinics throughout Texas, for instance.
Well, they are.
People that go, young ladies or women that go to the abortion clinic, have them do a DNA test, find out who the father is, let them have the baby, give the baby to the father. How's that? Let him raise them. Let him go through the expense. Let him care for the child. Let him give up his career.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I have to think about it. If a woman puts a baby up for adoption, does the father get first dibs? I mean, here's the thing, though. If a woman can put a baby up for adoption, I'm not sure how you can argue that the father can't also put the same baby up for adoption. I mean, I don't think it's fair to say that a woman can put a baby up for adoption and a man can't.
Yeah, but I'm asking for a little guilt on this side.
Well, I hear that.
I feel guilty. Okay.
I hear that, and you're right. I mean, men have to be absolutely as responsible, and too often women are holding the bag. Some of that's biology, and some of that's. But I do think that our law is there for that reason. Stick around if you want, Anna. We can talk about this on the other side of the hour. Folks, if you want to join the conversation, it's 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Back after this.
And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop, talking about the controversy over Planned Parenthood. And also, if you want to talk about the Donald, you're more than welcome to discuss that today. Toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. I'm going to get to Chris and Kate in just a moment. But first, to finish up with Anna. Anna, I understand your sentiment. I agree with your emotion. I agree that men should bear an equal responsibility as to women. I'm not sure, though, if you're advocating any changes in the law from what currently exists, which is requiring child support.
No, I'm just trying to change awareness of who the responsibility is. But the reason I hung on a little longer, I just wanted to point out that 32,000 people a year are killed by gunfire.
Right.
That's 10 times more than 9/11. Think about that.
It's true.
Many, many more are wounded. They go to hospitals. The hospitals don't get paid because they're, whatever, for whatever reasons, they're stuck. The hospitals are stuck paying the bills, or ultimately, we are.
That's because we don't have health, universal health care, and they have to go to emergency rooms, and then we all pay for it.
Right. What I think is, just like a car, you need to be insured, you need to be licensed, and you need to renew your license every 2 years or whatever the state says, 4 years, 2 years, whatever. Therefore, if there is gunfire, somebody's wounded, they can go to the insurance company and get the money from the insurance company.
Anna, I agree with you. You know, in car, we have even no-fault insurance in many states where you've got to insure in case you harm others and in case someone, or in some states, in case someone harms you. The idea that you can sell a gun, no consequences, makes no sense to me. If you sell poison to someone and they poison someone, you can be held liable.
Right.
If you're a bartender and someone gets too drunk at your bar and you see them drive home, you can be held liable.
Exactly.
If you sell a gun to a terrorist and that terrorist kills a bunch of people, I agree. I think that liability makes sense. Thanks for your call, Anna.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Let me go to Chris in North Carolina on line one. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Yeah, the only problem with the gun insurance thing is that the general population just winds up paying for it anyway. Everyone else's premiums would go up. That's all that would happen.
Well, only people who own guns' premiums would go up.
No, you don't think the insurance companies are just going to just lay it out with people it's spread out over everybody.
Well, not usually. I mean, reinsurance does that, but generally when you buy auto insurance, you're paying just for the auto. When you buy home insurance, it's just for the homes. I mean, you don't usually buy insurance on other, on another category. So I think it's a way.
I'll give you an example. I have insurance. I have car insurance. I also have to buy uninsured motorist insurance because
that's true.
Other motorists out there who don't have insurance. So I am actually paying for the insurance that they're not buying.
That's true. But you're not paying someone's home insurance. You're not paying you're not paying for someone who doesn't own a car. I mean, I think that gun owners paying for the cost of gun violence makes sense to me because they want to have a gun, they should pay for the costs of our society of having a gun.
Okay. Anyway, I called about the abortion thing and Planned Parenthood thing. I don't quite understand. You know, you said that it's a serious topic, and so you can understand how someone could take offense to the little lady who's speaking about it, but I can't understand how anybody who is pro-choice could care one way or another how cavalierly the lady was speaking of it if this is not, in fact, a human being that we're talking about that is being destroyed and picked apart from body parts.
Well, look, I'm pro-choice, and I also support using body parts from cadavers when people donate their organs to science. At the same time, I wouldn't want a doctor to, willy-nilly chop, even a cadaver, willy-nilly chop someone up and take an extra couple chops to the face and say, hey, look, like we can make a design in the body. No, you're chopping the body for a purpose, to get the heart out to save a life. I support that. But I don't think that, the corpse is dead. It's not a life. And yet I think needless mutilation of corpses should be a crime because we recognize that it was once a human life. So at the same time, I don't believe in if a woman has an abortion and they're not using the fetal tissue, I think that we should be careful. Same thing with anything. If we,
why? The premise of being pro-choice is that it is not a life that is being ended. It's not a person. It's not a human being. So therefore, why not harvest its parts?
Well, I'm fine. Right? I'm fine with using the parts to save lives. Absolutely. She talked about a gruesome topic over lettuce and salad and wine. I mean, I don't know that I'd want while eating to hear a doctor describe the intricacies of heart surgery because I'm pretty squeamish when it comes to blood. And, and if they want to talk about, oozing brains or whatever and brain surgery, there's a kind of, I think when doctors, if you've ever talked to surgeons and it's just surgeons talking among surgeons, they talk about body parts in ways that are a little cavalier because that's their job, and then I took and it oozed out and I almost dropped it, that's not something that people really want to hear who aren't in the profession. I understand why they they do it. It's the same, cops do the same thing, by the way. They talk about, yeah, the perp came and it's something the way that people in a certain business talk about something that those of us who aren't in it are squeamish about, and I get that. I understand that, but that, I don't think it takes away from the pro-choice argument.
Do you think that that woman was actually a heart surgeon talking about performing heart surgery over a salad and a wine that it would cause this uproar?
I think it's similar. I think she was someone who basically knows the details of an abortion and was describing it in a way. Look, it causes an uproar because there's a significant population that believes that abortion is murder. And they're the ones who are outraged. I don't think pro-choice people are outraged. My point is I'm not outraged.
Well, you just said it was a very serious topic. But so if it's
I think
not
it is a
life,
serious topic.
There's nothing serious about it then. It's just a tissue.
Well, it's a serious topic because so many people like you care, and I care about my fellow people's sensibilities. Let me give you another example of a serious topic, okay? Cartoons about Muhammad. Now, I don't give a damn about a cartoon about Muhammad. I'm not Muslim. Personally, it doesn't offend me in the least, doesn't bother me in the least. But I recognize that my fellow citizens who are Muslim care very much about those depictions. And, you know, so I wouldn't go around and burn a Quran. The Quran isn't sacred to me, but I wouldn't needlessly offend people. And I think she needlessly offended pro-life people by talking about it in that way. And in that respect, it was rude. And I, like I said, even though I don't care about a Quran, I'm not going to throw it in the trash because I think that would be something that would offend my fellow Americans. So I think the way she discussed the abortion procedure is offensive to pro-life Americans. And in that respect, was not the right tone. Of course, she didn't know she was talking to pro-life Americans. She thought she was talking with people on her side. She was tricked and, you know, and taped surreptitiously. But to me, that's the problem. It's sort of a rudeness problem rather than anything more than that. Does that make sense?
So, yeah, it makes sense. I quite understand how you. So you wouldn't exercise your First Amendment right to speak out if it offended somebody else?
No, she had a right to say it. Oh, a lot of times I don't exercise my First Amendment right if I think it's going to offend someone else. Okay? I mean, look, I'm Jewish. All right? I don't believe that Jesus is God. I don't believe that. I don't talk about it often, and I certainly wouldn't talk about it in a church. Because why would I want to needlessly offend good Christians who believe otherwise? They're good people. We just have a disagreement about our faith. I'm not going to go around, you know, in a church and say Jesus isn't God. I think that would be a really offensive thing to do. I'd have a right to do it. I have a free speech right to do it. I shouldn't be arrested for it. But I think there's a moral opprobrium to go into someone's house of worship and tell them you don't believe in their God. I wouldn't go into a Buddhist house of worship and say, I think Buddha was a jerk. Whatever. I mean, even if I did believe that, it's just not nice. It's not polite. So I think all the time I don't exercise my free speech rights when I fear it might offend others. I do that all the time. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. I just getting back to your original question about this woman's comment is it really about the? I think I can't remember exactly your words. Maybe I don't want to put them in your mouth, but you said, is it really about people who are against abortion, or is it about something else? What the other thing was.
I think it's about people who are against abortion. I think the people who are most offended by that video are people who are against abortion. And they're offended not so much because of the woman in Planned Parenthood, but because she's graphically describing something that they are morally offended by. And so I think that the fact that pro-life people are trying to portray this as something new and something awful, it's a description of something that they find offensive. And I get it. They find it offensive, but it's being portrayed as if it's something new and something scandalous. And really, it's something that in the context of abortion makes sense. So that's why I'm defending it. I mean, I wouldn't even brought it up if it weren't a news item because pro-life people are trumpeting it as if it's some revelation. And to me, I find it not a revelation at all, except that, again, she used a tone that probably when taken out of context, when her private luncheon is splattered across, you know, 20 million people, sure, she's offending people, but she didn't intend to offend people any more than I intend to offend Christians by my own Jewish faith. I mean, I don't, and I never would, you know, I believe it, but I'm not out to attack Christians any more than I think she's out to attack pro-life people.
No, and she's not. And that's what would have motivated my call was the either or. Like, why are they offended? I think it's two sides of the same coin. if you're pro-life, and maybe even if you're pro-choice, the thought of the way she's describing how these fetuses are dissected, it kind of holds up a mirror to ourselves as to what an abortion actually is.
And you know what? That's fair.
Talk about it in sort of general terms, but if you get specific, like she's getting, it can bring home the realization of what's happening to this, whatever it is.
That's fair, Chris.
It's definitely a human being.
I consider it a potential human being, but you're right. It's absolutely fair to bring up the gruesome nature of it. And Chris, I'm going to go you one further. All right. I'm a meat eater. I'm not a vegetarian. And I'm someone who could never kill an animal. I could never kill a cow. I couldn't shoot a deer. I'd be crying too much. I love dogs. I love cats. But you know what? Maybe I'm a complete hypocrite because I enjoy a Wendy's hamburger as much as anyone. I like barbecue. I eat meat. I do. I like meat. I like the taste. I'm not a vegetarian. And yet when the vegetarians want to show me pictures of how cows and chickens and pigs are mistreated, I actually care. I don't want them to be mistreated, but I still want to kill them for my food. So I may be a real hypocrite, but I have to tell you, I don't like to look at those pictures because I don't like to think about where my hamburger comes from. And I think that the pro-choice people who are offended by this kind of feel the same way. They're still pro-choice, just like I continue to eat my meat, but they don't want to be confronted by the squeamish nature of what happens any more than I do. And I recognize it's brutal what they do to livestock, but you know what? I still eat my meat. So I think it's that same kind of sort of what I'd call a minor hypocrisy. And I don't know if you feel the same way. Are you a meat eater instead of a vegetarian?
No, I'm a meat eater.
You're a meat eater. So how do you feel about those graphic photos of killing the meat that you eat? I mean, do you how does that make you feel?
I can't say I've ever seen the photos. I guess I've heard stories.
You probably should look. I mean, to be fair, you should probably look. Although I got to tell you, they're not pretty. Killing is not pretty. Okay, whether it's a fish, I mean, I didn't even like to fish because I felt bad for the fish with the hook in its mouth. All right,
I guess using your logic, I can justify anything they want to do to animals because they're not human beings.
Well, I have some limits. I wouldn't do to chimps what I would do to a fish or dolphins because I think they're extremely intelligent. I think part of it is based on the intelligence. I do believe in animal rights. At the same time, I'm a meat eater, and I'm not going to pretend that, you know, I'm holier than thou. Frankly, I think vegetarians have a higher moral order than I do, and I respect them for it. And I tell them that every time I see them, but I'm not willing to make that personal sacrifice because I like my hamburger. So what can I say? I'm not as holy as I wish I could be. And the same, by the way, is true on abortion. Let me say this. I am not pro-abortion. I am pro-choice. And I, frankly, if a close friend of mine came to me, and she had the financial ability to take care of the child and really was capable, I might very well encourage her to have that child. I don't want you to get this idea that pro-choice people are running around saying, do every abortion you can. I do have, though, tremendous sympathy for a teenager or a rape victim or a very, very poor woman who says, I cannot afford to have a child right now. Those are the people I have more sympathy for.
But you're talking strictly in a monetary sense, and you're not talking about the emotional cost of these women many of them come to terms with what they've done.
That's true.
There's also an option of adoption. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that option as a way to go.
Well,
long term.
The problem with adoption is that we have a lot of unwanted children in the United States. We have a glut even of black babies, I'm sorry to say. We have to export them to Canada because there are not enough white families that will take care of all the unwanted black babies in America. And given that reality and given that they're going to end up in foster care and end up unloved, I don't know that putting one more unloved person in the world makes more sense than waiting until you're 23 and can take care of a child and having one then. I just think that's a woman's choice and it's her body. And so, but listen, I'm not against adoption and I'm not against bringing a baby to term. I just don't feel the government should be making that choice for a woman. It's her body. And that's where we disagree.
No, I agree. I agree. It's going to take a matter of a change of hearts and minds to eradicate abortion from the nation. And I think that's exactly what this kind of Planned Parenthood story does. That's the kind of effect it has on
people. Well, yeah, and people
and I think
show...
that's why people on the pro-choice side are so upset about this.
Yeah, well, my point is, I'm trying to be intellectually honest and say that I support the donation of fetal tissue to cure disease. I continue to support it. It doesn't really bother me that she talked about it in graphic terms, but I can see why people who are pro-life would be offended by it. Just like vegetarians don't want to see, you know, the killing of cows and chickens to make meat. But hey, Chris, I really enjoyed this conversation. I got a bunch of other callers. I want to get to them as well. But thank you very much for calling in. I do appreciate it.
Thank you.
Folks, I'm going to take a quick break, and then I'm going to get to every one of you on the line. Kate and Tamara and anyone else who calls in at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275, right back after this.
He's a Fulbright scholar, and he speaks French, but he couldn't tell you who won the Super Bowl. It's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. He's a Fulbright scholar, and he speaks French, but he couldn't tell you who won the Super Bowl. It's Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I know who won the Super Bowl. It was the Patriots, right? But I couldn't tell you who won last year. I know the Saints won a few years back. All right, I don't often watch the Super Bowl. I'm a geek. All right, we'll move on. Kate from Humboldt County on line two. How are you?
I'm great. I listen to progressive talk radio as well as the conservative stuff, and you are my first call.
Wow.
So I have like 4 points and a question. If I could get my points out quickly.
You can try, but we're running out of time. I'll tell you this.
Comment.
But Kate, let me just say this, because we're running out of time here. If you don't finish, I have a special guest tomorrow. Call back in Thursday, and I promise you'll get all the time you want.
But
make your points as fast as you can.
Okay.
Go.
So you had a great argument for first trimester abortions.
Mm-hmm.
I would, if you have time when I'm done, I would like to hear your argument for second trimester abortions just at will.
Okay.
Considering now you could just go into a drugstore and get a test and find out within 3 days if you're mm-hmm. pregnant. Some I have difficulty with abortions after that just because you were irresponsible.
Makes sense.
Okay,
to me.
Number two. My mother was a donor. I'm a donor. I believe if you are Christians out there, and I follow Jesus' teachings, but basically I'm not a Christian, but I follow the golden rule as well as possible.
Okay.
And I believe that fetus or embryo is part of God. And
right. It's your religious belief. I got it. I'm asking you to move fast just so we don't have much time. Go ahead.
You want others as you would have to what?
I'm just asking you to speed up because we don't have much time. That's all. I got your point.
Okay. If men got pregnant, there'd be availability everywhere, and it would be called a procedure.
I agree.
You have a child, but the Republicans kept the food programs.
You're right.
And regarding the discussion of this woman, I was in juvenile hall for 15. Well, I worked at the probation department for 25 years, 10 years in juvenile hall. I can tell you when kids attempted suicide, you know, had fits, cried, cut themselves. What we said in the control room was a way to deal with it, and we are professionals. I need time to talk about it.
Okay, Kate.
I do not think she was trying to be rude. I think she was had poor judgment to discuss it in a public setting.
Yeah, but she didn't know she was being recorded. I mean, you know, most people don't think of a surreptitious recording. But let me say this.
Basically, if we talked about it the way we talk about it in a private setting,
right.
If we spoke about that in a public setting, even at our own table, we end up getting in trouble.
Yeah, I hear you. It's a sensitive topic and probably shouldn't have been done. And I said that. That probably shouldn't have been done in a public setting. Let me just say real quickly. I will agree with you, and actually so does Roe v. Wade, that the reason to have an abortion in the first trimester is far more important than in the third trimester, when it is almost like a baby and it can think and it can feel. And I think that in the third trimester, it should only be done when a woman's life or health is in danger. That may surprise you as someone who's pro-choice, but then it almost is a baby. This is Mark Levine signing off.